January the 12th, we have 9 games, no postponements, some intriguing performances, and the Challengers get a win. This is what Sunday. This is the Sunday post-game show. Let's go, balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. Don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny getting tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy. That's all that I need.
Welcome to the Balls Deep Podcast, brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I'm Adam King. Find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at AdamKing91. Find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, anywhere, everywhere you consume your fantasy basketball content. We are part of the Old Man Squad at Old Man Squad on Twitter. All right, 9 games. I said, yeah, my challengers, they got some wins this week over me because of the postponements and the, well, really just the postponements. I managed to scrape and through and win a couple of matchups. I just want to give you, I was looking at my matchups just before, and I want to have a look at one. Where is it? I think it was in industry pickup. I will probably fall to second, I think, because I lost. I was equal first, and I lost, and I think the team that was coming, standings have been updated. So I'm back to second now, but that's fine. But if I pull up the scoring this week, I lost steals by 4. This is just an example for anyone that copped it this week. I lost steals by 4, and the players I had out, so Anthony Davis missed 2 games. Amen Thompson missed a game. Dyson Daniels missed 1 or 2 games. I think that was it. So I would like to think that between Anthony Davis, Amen Thompson, Max Christie, Dyson Daniels, Mark Williams, I think they're the only ones, I would have got 4 steals. But looking at my roster today, where are we? Sunday. So my opponent only got 2 steals today, so I needed, 6 steals for the day. And I had Lonzo Ball, I had OG Anunoby, I had Jose Alvarado, I had Keon Ellis, I had Jalen Williams. So all 5 of them are averaging 1.5 plus steals a game, and I got 1 between the 5 of them. So there you go. There's an example of frustrating head-to-head leagues, but that's why we do it. Let's get into the games, shall we? Stop talking about my matchups. Oh, we don't want that screen. We want this screen here, and we want it bigger than that, don't we? There we go. All right, Milwaukee at New York. Didn't really see this one coming. Knicks 140, Bucks 106. For the Bucks, though, it really highlights their lack of depth beyond Giannis, Dame, and Middleton to a lesser degree. Look, none of them were spectacular here. Giannis was solid. Dame was solid. Middleton was solid. But when you get 3 points from Taurean Prince, 5 points from Brook Lopez, when Andre Jackson is your leading scorer, out of the starters beyond Giannis and Dame, you're in trouble because he does not like to score the ball. So we're not taking anything out of this performance. It was just a rough night for the Bucks. Giannis only played 31 minutes. Not taking anything out of it. I thought AJ Green might have an opportunity here to do a little bit more with no Gary Trent, but he did not. For the Knicks, we got their health. Well, healthy. I'm not going to say healthy. We got their usual starting lineup. All the starters. Well, they all played pretty big minutes. Tibbs actually pulled the starters here with about 5 minutes to go in the last quarter. So that's good. OG continues to do very little. He's like the new PJ Washington, I think, or the new who did it used to be on Josh's show? Was it Jay Crowder? Sometimes maybe good, sometimes maybe shit. I think it was Jay Crowder. Then it was PJ Washington. Maybe it's OG now. 11 points, 2 assists and a block. Couldn't really hit a shot. He's just so up and down. And thanks for 0 steals there, OG. Mikal Bridges also a rough night. 6 points, 6 assists. Bad night. I don't know. I mean, I don't have him anywhere, so I'm not invested in Mikal Bridges. But the inconsistency is pretty frustrating as it is with OG. Cameron Payne, he had 18 off the bench, but that came in 14 minutes. He was just hitting his shots. Not really interested in him or anyone outside of the starting five. Denver at Dallas. Dallas were ahead for a significant portion of this game. Dallas rallied. They get the win. 112 to 101. Oh, let me close that up. And that, I don't want to look at my depressing roster from today. Denver do get the win. Jokic, 19, 18, 9, and 3. Not as aggressive on offense here, only 19 points, 13 shot attempts, but didn't matter. Russell Westbrook, 10 and 7 with 2 steals and a block. What year is this? Apparently it's 2025, but Westbrook would have us think otherwise. Christian Brown had 8 points with 4 rebounds. He's probably trending towards being a drop in certain situations. I just don't think his upside is high enough now with the way Westbrook is playing. Aaron Gordon returned in this one. Peyton Watson is playing better. Strouther is playing better. So I think Brown he's fine to hold, but I also think you could get more value from streaming his spot. As for Aaron Gordon, 18 minutes off the bench. Now, they did talk about potentially keeping him on the bench or coming off the bench with the way Westbrook has been playing, so we will see. But I think what that sort of tells us is that the return of Aaron Gordon is not going to impact Russell Westbrook all too much. So we keep rostering him. We keep rostering Aaron Gordon. Peyton Watson, look, he had 10, 6, and 1 with a steal and a block in 33 minutes, but his minutes are going to go to Aaron Gordon. So once Gordon pushes back up to 30, 32, Peyton will be down at around that 15 to 17-minute mark, which would make him a drop. For Dallas, PJ Washington. Maybe he is the new PJ Washington, 8 and 5 with a steal and a block. He's been better than this and has been more consistent than OG. So I'm going to leave that title with OG for now. Najee Marshall had 16, 6 and 2 with 3 steals. He has to be rostered. Lively had 14, 6 and 8 with 2 blocks. Only 27 minutes, but Dan Gafford didn't look good in this one. 8 points, 3 rebounds and a block. So, yeah, it's all about Lively here, and Gafford is just a streamer at this point. Dinwiddie had 16 and 10, so a nice night for him. Still can't shoot the ball, but that's the Dinwiddie experience. And Klay Thompson, talked about him on the pregame show. He's been a bit disappointing. I said he will probably put it together at some point, and he did. 25 points, 6 threes, not a lot else, but this is what you roster Klay for. So we hold him for now, and then we reevaluate when these guys get back. Quentin Grimes had 3 points, 4 rebounds. Just a really bad night for him. I'm holding him. He had been playing better than this, so it's certainly not a nice line to look at, but I'm okay with holding him for now. Sacramento at Chicago. So we got to look at the healthy Sacramento lineup. Keon Ellis moved to the bench. Played 20 minutes, so he's a streamer. You can't hold him if he's only playing 20 minutes, unless you're in a very heavy punt build. I have a lot of heavy punt teams. I'm even okay with moving on from Keon. If he's only going to play 20 minutes, he just doesn't do enough in that time. He's just a steals streamer. Keegan Murray sort of played well again, but this could be a situation where he trends down a little bit over the next week. So keep an eye on that. We roster everyone else. Devin Carter, his minutes went down predictably with De'Aaron Fox back in the lineup. So there's no point holding him. If we're not holding Keon Ellis, we're certainly not holding or chasing Devin Carter. For the Bulls, Lonzo Ball got the start. So this was nice. They went with him over Julian Phillips or Dalen Terry. And, of course, he got zero steals. Thank you, Lonzo. But he did get 5 threes, which I didn't need at all today. But whatever, that's fine. But the 26 minutes, very encouraging. So I think Lonzo has to be rostered. He will do more than this in terms of the counting stats, especially the assists column. I think I actually prefer him coming off the bench and playing 25 minutes than starting. So if Coby White returns in the next game, Lonzo will move back to the bench and should be able to do a little bit more in those counting stat categories. Patrick Williams, look, if you want to move on, I'm okay with it. If you want to hold, I'm okay with it. His ceiling is so low, though. It's almost not worth talking about. LaVine was very good again. Vooch had 18, 7, and 3 with a steal. And Josh Giddey, sort of flirted with a triple-double, 12, 11, and 7. He's slowly getting back on track, I think. Horton Tucker did play 17 minutes. He had 10 points and 2 rebounds, and I am not looking at him as a 12-team option at all. The Thunder take care of the Wizards, I don't know, like 200 to 10 or something. What was it? 136 to 95. Honestly, that's probably flattering as well to the Wizards. They were just terrible in this game. OKC barely had to do anything. The minutes were down, so I'm not even going to talk about them. Let's talk about Washington, though. Nothing good. Kispert, he had some threes off the bench. That's about it. Kuzma looks rubbish. Koulibaly had some defensive stats and 10 points. So that's actually not a bad line for Koulibaly. Alex Saar had 10 and 6 with 2 blocks. I guess that's okay. Bob Carrington, the risk with him is the scoring is very up and down. He did have 7 assists, so that's nice. Jordan Poole didn't really do much here. 13 points, a rough night for him. Probably another missed game coming up at some point. Kispert, I said he was okay. But, I mean, this rotation was just all over the place tonight. Valanciunas had 11 and 8 in his 18 minutes. He's probably a hold until we get an idea of what his minutes look like consistently, but I actually don't know if we're going to get that. And Jared Butler, who had been playing well, had 6 points in 8 minutes. So if you streamed him in, rough night. He's not really sustainable at this point. All right. Philadelphia and Orlando. Good win for the Magic. They were, of course, without Franz Wagner, without Jalen Suggs, and they got some injuries in the game. We'll start with Philly, though. No Embiid again, as my daughter calls me. No Embiid again, no surprise. Sorry, I'm just messaging my daughter, otherwise she's going to keep calling me. Oh, go away. This is live, isn't it? I'm recording a show. Yabusele started, so no Drummond as well. Yabusele started. He had 8, 3, and 2 with a steal and a block. He can be streamed in on nights like this, and who knows what's going on with Embiid. I have to imagine his teammates would be frustrated with this. I know he has injuries and his knees are not... Well, you could probably do a whole podcast on Joel Embiid's knees, but you have to wonder with the advice that he's been given about the surgeries that he's had. The surgeries have almost been a quick fix. Like they're just trying to get him back out and not prioritizing the future. And now it's coming back to bite them. So anyway, he could return next game, at which point Yabusele would be a drop. Maxi was good. Paul George got going in this one. Oubre, 12-4-1 with 2 steals. They're serviceable, has to be rostered. Eric Gordon does not. He had 14 points in his 28 minutes, and they got 11 points off the bench. There you go. That's a stacked bench, isn't it? Justin Edwards, Adem Bona, Reggie Jackson, Ricky Council, and Jeff Doughton. Five names you probably never heard of. Well, no, we've heard of Reggie Jackson, haven't we? For Orlando, Goga Badadze only played 12 minutes before succumbing to a back injury. He had two steals and two blocks, so he gave us some defensive stuff. Monitor, we're not dropping him. Even with him out, Wendell Carter still only played 24 minutes. This is why I'm hesitant to go and add Wendell Carter. Tristan Da Silva also suffered an injury after only 1 minute. We do not need to hold Da Silva. If we get word that he's going to miss any time at all, we can move on. Cole Anthony was very good again, has to be rostered. Paolo started this one a bit slow. He got going though. So just good to have him back. Still on that minutes restriction, that will bump up slowly. But we want to look at the bench here. Anthony Black had a nice night. He has done this periodically throughout the season. If you want to take a flyer on him, you could. Part of this was because of the Goga injury, the Da Silva injury, Paolo being on a minutes restriction. So I would still much rather Cole Anthony to Anthony Black. But in slightly deeper leagues, I think Black makes sense. And Jonathan Isaac, he played 27 minutes. So that in itself is worth talking about. But he also had his first double-double since, I believe, 2019. So it's been a good 6 years. 20 and 11 with two blocks. Now, obviously, there are some takeaways here. He's not going to shoot this well. He was 8 of 13 from the field. He's usually around 40, 42%. So usually won't shoot this well because he does stretch the floor. Free throws are a bit of an issue, 2 of 4. It's not ideal. But if Goga's going to miss time here, which he could, there's no Mo Wagner, obviously, and Wendell Carter is not the answer. So if Jonathan Isaac is going to play 25, 26 minutes a night, then I think we have to add him. I think just get ahead of it, add him, see what happens. If they say Goga is fine and he'll play in the next game, then we just drop Isaac. But he had been trending up, even without the injury to Goga Badadze. He had been, I think he's blocked at least two shots in 4 or 5 straight games. He gets some rebounds. So he was even on the radar without this performance. So yes, I would certainly consider him. Indiana, get the win over Cleveland. Finally, Cleveland have a bad game. It feels like they've just had a good game all year. For the Pacers, let's start with Tyrese Haliburton. 19 minutes, 2 points, 5 assists, a steal and a block, and then he left the game with hamstring tightness. Now, obviously, tightness is not necessarily an injury, but this is the hamstring that he injured last year and has potentially been dealing with ever since because they rushed him back. So definitely a situation to monitor. If he is out, if they announce that he is going to miss a week, 2 weeks, whatever. I think Nembhard is the priority. Ben Shepherd started the second half. I'm not really chasing him, I don't think. TJ McConnell would be the other one. He did only play 17 minutes here, so this is his usual playing time. They just don't seem to want to play him more than about 24 minutes, so that's why I think Nembhard would be the preference, because he will just play more. He'll start. He had been starting, but he'll have to do more. He'll have the ball in his hands a bit more. I think Siakam would get a bump here in terms of assist numbers potentially. And then TJ, if you need assists and steals, you take a bit of a chance and hope that they push him into a bigger role. But it just doesn't seem to be on their agenda at this point. For Cleveland, just a bad game. Didn't really play well, no real momentum here. I'm not really making any moves based off this. I mean, it had to come at some point. They were going to slump. Whether this slump lasts 2 or 3 games or it might just be a one-off, we will see. But we don't need to be making any moves based on this game. New Orleans at Boston. Boston get the win 120 to 119. Lucky, I would say. Pelicans showed a lot of fight in this one. DeJounte played. He was questionable, as we said in the pregame show, but played through his injuries, various injuries. He had 26, 9, and 8 with a steal and a block. He's been a little bit better over the last week, efficiency-wise, so that's good to see. Zion returned 28 minutes, 16, 7, and 3 with 5 steals. Only 5 of 15 from the field. That's less than ideal for a guy that we would expect to shoot over 50%. But it's just good to have him back. There was an incident, at the end of the game, he walked out basically by himself, didn't stay on the court with his teammates. He just seemed frustrated with the loss and I guess just wanted to be alone, whatever. But, I mean, this suspension, there were rumours or it's speculated that this is the missing of the flight was the last or another in a string of incidents that off-court incidents that he's had. So it's definitely a situation we just monitor moving forward and see if any trade rumors start to circulate. There's nothing really going around at the moment. Trey Murphy, very safe though. He had 36 and 4. Misi had 7, 4 and 4 with a block. Zion being there impacts him. I'm probably holding at least for another game or two. We haven't had a very good look at what his role looks like with Zion on the floor. And, of course, Brandon Ingram could return this week. So we will see. Alvarado had 9 points in 12 minutes. He had been playing sort of 20 minutes. So I guess they just went in another direction in this one. Brandon Boston, no reason to be holding him. Or Jordan Hawkins. Of all of these bench players, it's probably Javonte Green in deeper leagues just because he can do stuff across the board. But they're relatively healthy now. No Herb, no Ingram, and obviously Herb is probably done for the season. For Boston, Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Porzingis, they did their damage. Drew Holiday, pretty stinky again. He's very, very back end in 12s. And honestly, I think streaming might be a better option. Derek White in a bit of a slump offensively here. He still had 3 steals and a block, but maybe a bit of a buy low for him. Peyton Pritchard had 11 points with 4 assists. He's still a bit of a buy low, but I've talked about the fact that I think this is probably who he is. I don't think he is the player that we saw over the first 6 weeks. He is more of a 14, 15 points with 4 or 5 assists. So, and Al Horford. We don't need to hold Al Horford when they're healthy. Brooklyn at Utah. This game went into overtime. Utah get the win. It was really just who wanted to lose it more. Utah had a fairly good lead. Brooklyn came back, forced overtime, and then Utah held on for the win. Lots of issues that we can see here with this Brooklyn rotation. Noah Clowney, who had been playing very well, scoring the ball well, just what you want on a Sunday evening, 0 of 10 from the field, no defensive stats, 0 points, missed his only free throw attempt. So, I think he's probably still a hold, but this is the risk you take with any of these guys because they are so unproven that it's hard for them to be consistent. Zaire Williams had 19 points with 1 steal in his 32 minutes. He's been relatively solid, as has Keon Johnson, but then Keon Johnson only played 21 minutes. I thought he looked good to start the game, and they just went with Tosan. Dayron Sharp played a little bit more, but as long as Claxton's there, the minutes aren't going to be there for Dayron Sharp. Jalen Wilson, 7 points. Again, pretty risky. Tyrese Martin. So I think for me, it's still Clowney, Zaire Williams, and then probably Keon Johnson. Ben Simmons, I'm assuming, is rostered in most leagues, and he should be. He had 14, 6, and 9 with 2 blocks. He's going to miss time. We know that. But when he plays, he's doing enough. Utah. Ooh, this was probably the most depressing starting lineup of the season. Cody Williams, Micah Potter, Drew Eubanks, Colin Sexton, and Isaiah Collier. Kessler was a late scratch. This would indicate to me that back any upcoming back-to-backs, Kessler, there's a chance he misses them. And surprise, surprise, no fines for these teams who are just resting players for no reason. Cody Williams, nope. Micah Potter, nope. Drew Eubanks, in a situation like this, yes, but he needed John Collins out. He needed Lauri Markkanen out. He needed Walker Kessler out. He can do this, though. He's done it previously. But, yeah, chances of all of these injuries happening at the same time again are not astronomically high. Colin Sexton was fine. Isaiah Collier, probably his best game, should have been added anyway in most spots because of his assists and steals upside. Didn't get any steals here, but he had 7 assists and 23 points. So easily his best offensive game, but have a look at the opposition. Brooklyn are arguably the best matchup for teams who are looking to turn things around and get some production going. So he certainly did that here. Bryce Sensabaugh, he returned, had 16 points in 27 minutes. He closed the game here over Micah Potter. I wish they'd just start him, but I don't think they're going to. Filipowski had 12 in his 21 minutes. Mikhailiuk, I talked about him in the pregame show. I don't mind him in situations like this where there's minutes to go around. He had 16 points in 17 minutes. But a little bit like Brooklyn, a little bit like Washington, you could go in any direction on any given night. And then there is one more game, which I haven't... hang on, let me just stop sharing while I got distracted watching the end of the Charlotte Phoenix game. So let me just bring it up here. Phoenix do get the win, just perfectly tanked by Charlotte. Let's bring it over here. Right, Charlotte. And Phoenix, Josh Green did nothing, 3 steals, stream him in for defense if you want. Brandon Miller had 19 and 6 in his 33 minutes, a little bit off with his shot, but these numbers are fine. They're not exciting. LaMelo had 25, 11 and 6 with 3 steals and a block, 5 threes. He has the highest usage in the NBA at the moment for anyone that's keeping track and not surprising as well on this team. Miles Bridges had 21, 5, and 5. Good night for him. No steals. I'd like a steal there from Miles Bridges. And Mark Williams, the line is very good. 24 and 16, 4 assists, 1 block, 9 of 12 from the field. 29 minutes, slightly underwhelming, but they just went a little bit smaller here at times. And I still don't think they want to push Mark Williams to more than about 30 minutes if they don't have to. Now, this line looks really good, but he had 22 and 13, I think, at halftime. So the second half, he had 2 points, 3 rebounds, and that's it. So, yeah, it was still a very, very good line, fantastic. But he was more contained in the second half. As for the bench, not much to talk about there. Nick Richards had 4 and 5 with a steal, but he needs Mark Williams to be out to be valuable. Cody Martin can be a little bit like Josh Green. He can be a steals streamer. They actually had an opportunity here to, I think they were down by 5 with 40 seconds to go, and they inbounded the ball, and it was a sort of a turnaround fadeaway by Nick Smith Jr. I'm not sure that's the play that they called up. Maybe it was. Didn't look like it was. For Phoenix, Kevin Durant, Devin Booker doing all of the heavy lifting, and that's just going to be the case moving forward. Ryan Dunn had 11, 6, and 2 with a steal. I still think he's okay to roster, but I'm not that excited about him. Mason Plumlee, he got absolutely cooked by Mark Williams, and hence only played 15 minutes. He had 2 blocks, he had a steal, he had 5 rebounds. So I still think he's okay if you only need those stats. But, again, ceiling, very limited. Tyus Jones, he stunk it up again. He's not a drop, but is he? I don't know. He hasn't looked good this last week. And I just don't know if the upside is high enough to warrant holding. Again, streaming might be more valuable. Bradley Beal, 15 and 6 off the bench. 35 minutes are good, so he's still playing good minutes, but the numbers have been a little bit underwhelming in general. Iguodaro, 10, 6 and 2 with a block in 30 minutes. He is someone I might take a flyer on. Yusuf Nurkic was out with a flu. Who knows what that means? And they've said that he won't travel with them. So not that he was in the rotation anyway. But if Iguodaro, if they're going to lean into him a bit more and play him 25 to 30 minutes, then maybe he's worth a look. Royce O'Neal also returned. He had 9, 4, and 1 with a steal and a block, and we know exactly what he does. Grayson Allen left this game with a knee injury, I think it was. So if he misses time, Royce O'Neal would certainly be someone we would want to be streaming in here for sure. All right, let's look at some questions very quickly. Oh, it's Chad's fault because he dropped TJ today. Thank you, Chad. No update on Halliburton yet. I'm going to get one tomorrow. Goga did get hurt. Lone Des, yes. Hopefully it's not too bad. Did I see the dressing down that Chad gave Jeffrey in OMS Dynasty? I haven't looked yet. I know I won, but I haven't looked at the other matchups. Lone Des won his week. Didn't have players in the postponed games. Yeah, it wasn't pretty. Steve doesn't regret dropping Brolo. No, that's a good call. Neither would I if I had him. Alex was going to trade for Halley. Initial reports about his recovery. Hold off for now. Yeah, you've got Luka, Chet, Suggs, Jalen Johnson. That's a lot of injured players. Depends what you were going to give up for Halliburton. Have a look at the trade. But no reports yet. But, I mean, the concern is obviously there because this is a recurrence of an injury that, as I said, cost him a period last season. They rushed him back. It then cost him a second period. And even coming into this season, there was sort of talk that he was still dealing with it. And I know he's been listed as having back injuries and things like that, but are the two related? I don't know, but they certainly could be. This was the second time this week, Steve, when Tibbs pulled the starters. Maybe he's maturing. It's the sign of the apocalypse. So, are we dropping Grimes? Najee is available. Oh, yeah, look, I think you could take Najee over Grimes. Najee is starting, at least. So I think that's fine. I think both are worth rostering, but if you had to pick between the two, Najee is probably safer, as we've seen, because he's starting. Hart has been quoted multiple times about putting egos aside and playing selfless basketball. Can't imagine it's McHale or Cat. OG that he's talking about. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you can make what you want from these player quotes. They were certainly a lot better today. But OG has been, as I said, wildly inconsistent the last 2 weeks, I want to say. Malik Monk or Westbrook. Yeah, I'd probably say Westbrook at this point, I think. It's pretty close, but, I mean, the way Westbrook's playing, I like Malik Monk too. Yeah, it's pretty close. Maybe Westbrook. How would I order these players? Aaron Gordon, Jeremy Sochan, Draymond Green. I'd have Draymond last, but that's more of a me thing. I would probably go Sochan, Gordon, Draymond. Draymond's interesting there because he doesn't score, but he he's easily the best in terms of assists in those three. Sochan is the best rebounder. Aaron Gordon's probably the best scorer, maybe. Defensively, it's probably Draymond. He's not that good anymore. Sochan. Threes. Yeah, none of them are really good at threes. It's pretty close. Probably depends a little bit on what categories you need. I would probably go Sochan, Gordon, Draymond. Alex hates being a Sixers fan. Yes, I would too. Nothing from my daughter there. Always doing less with more. Yeah, look. Injuries are an excuse, but it was only Embiid, really. You had Paul George and Tyrese Maxey, and both played well. But the Magic have got half their team out, and they still won and have been winning. So, yeah, you can only use injuries as an excuse to a point. Goga does have a hip contusion. Yes, I remember it was initially listed as a back, and then it was changed to a hip. PG's contract is disgusting. Yes, it is. Maury trying to run a three-star model. Yeah, well, it's a bit hard to run a three-star model when one of your stars is a part-time player. The other one has had injuries. And you have no depth. Have a look at Boston. I mean, you could argue that they have three or four stars, but really it's Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. And then they've just built a good roster around them. Cleveland, Donovan Mitchell, and Garland. Mobley has turned himself into a superstar, but they didn't acquire him as a superstar, and that's the difference here. With the Sixers, they're chasing talent rather than building from within, I think anyway. Murphy is a hold rest of season. Yes, I think he is. Yeah, look, the Cavs bench, that is one issue that it comes up with any of these teams. LeVert, Strus, these guys just weren't playing very well tonight. But considering they're, 30-something and five, I think it's fine. Thinking about moving Ayton and getting Monk in a points league, yeah, I'm okay with that. You know my thoughts on Ayton. Noah Clowney with the worst line in the NBA this season. It's pretty close. I'd like to know if there's been one worse. Collier gave us a sneak peek for the future. He did. He looked good today. Where did I hear about Westbrook starting? I don't know. It was on Twitter somewhere. Do I think Westbrook still starts if Gordon moves into the starting five? No, I don't think so. I don't think they want to move Brown out of that starting lineup. So there could be instances where where are we? Denver. There could be instances where they do go with Aaron Gordon to get a bit more size on the court. But I think at the moment, with the way they're playing, they'll just continue to ease Gordon back in. Remember, this injury that he had was the second time he's done it this season. So I don't see them rushing Gordon at all here. And Gordon would be in no hurry. So he could hover in the low to mid 20s for another 2 to 3 weeks. And then we maybe reevaluate, but I don't think there's any big changes coming at the moment. Is Grimes a drop in a 12 team? Oh, he is close, but I'm going to hold him in. Do I have him in any 12s? I have him in a 14. Maybe I don't have him in a 12. In a 14, I'm going to hold. In a 12, I would probably hold if you can for one or two more games. We might get an update on Kyrie at some point soon. So that's something else to keep an eye on. But I would try and hold him for one or two more games. But I also do think that there's obviously a time limit on his value here, because once Kyrie is back, he takes a bump. Then once Luka is back, another bump. So a bump in the wrong direction too. Is Lonzo a pickup in a 12-team category league? Yeah, look, I think he might be. If it depends what you need. He's not going to score like this every night. Well, he hasn't thus far, but he will get you assists. He's an okay rebounder. He gets you defensive stats and he hits threes. So if those categories are important, yes. But just remember that there isn't really a lot more upside, I don't think. He's sort of hit 25 minutes. I don't see him hitting 30 at this point. I mean, I didn't think he'd get to 25, so maybe he does. But at this point, I think he's pretty topped out now. And it's just about him getting the feel for the game back, and the numbers will hopefully increase just as he gets more comfortable. Oh, Chad also benched Collier, so thank you, Chad. Alex says, a guy in his league who had Book and Mello lost his week to his opponent, had Beal for second last, 457 points in ESPN today to come undone by that last second. He did get a steal late, didn't he? I was watching. Yes. And that, look, that happens. you got to play till the end. Trade rumors about Nurkic and Richards and that sort of thing. Yes, I have heard that. I don't know if Shams has tweeted anything, but there are some reputable sources tweeting about that trade. Yeah, look, it doesn't make sense for Charlotte, but I also don't think they care. Like, Mark Williams is their starting center, so they would just acquire assets at the moment, and they might be able to, because, I mean, Nurk's trade value at the moment is at an all-time low. So they might be able to get him in, play him as the backup, get his value up, give him on for some picks or something, where I think Phoenix just need they need a center. I mean, did you see them today? I know they won, but their center rotation is terrible. Iguodaro, when he is your best option, and like I said, he's played well, but he's a rookie. Nick Richards had a nice little stretch this season, and so I think if he was traded, he could actually start in Phoenix because he gives them a defensive presence. So it's something to watch, just to see what happens. We are still a while out, so. Durant is a massive supporter of Iguodaro. They do like him there, yes. So if Richards doesn't come in, he probably just holds down that, well, maybe not starting role, but starting minutes role. Yes, that's right. Yes, clarity. The Nurk rumor is Nurk and second picks. Yep. Should I avoid picking up players in both LA? Look, there is an article. Let me go and find it, actually. So there was an article today from, what's his name? Oh, hang on. I think I retweeted it, maybe. Where are we? Oh, yes, here we go. So I'll pop the link in So it was from Sam Anko on HoopsWire. And look, he's not super reputable, but it's something. And I'll pop it in the chat here. So per his article, and I have seen it in a couple of other spots, the games, tomorrow's games in LA at the moment are scheduled to go ahead. So I know the Fires are pretty unpredictable at the moment, and so things could change. So be ready for missed games. But at the moment, they are intending to play those games tomorrow. So would I avoid picking up players? Look, you could. It depends when you have to make your pickups. I think if you have to do them sort of now, then it is a risk. But if you can wait, we should get word, I would say, early tomorrow on whether those games are going to go ahead. Grimes or Naji? I think Naji's a bit safer. TJ McConnell is now a pickup. I think he's a speculative pickup. I said when I was doing the Pacers breakdown, they don't seem to want to push him more than about 22, 24 minutes. So that does cap his overall appeal. But we know what he can do in that time. So I think Nembhard would be the priority because he'll start, he'll play big minutes, and he'll have his hands on the ball a lot. McConnell would be more of your flyer and just hope just fingers crossed sort of thing. But we'll see. Yeah, we all love McConnell as a fantasy guy. So there's that link too. So that is in the chat there if you wanted to go and read it. It's only very, take you 30 seconds. It's a short article. All right, and I think that was it. Yes, I believe so. So that will do for today's post-game show. Now I will be back in the morning with a pre-game show. I don't know how many games. Let's have a look. We have, I know we've got an 11-game Wednesday this week. We have 6 games tomorrow. So a nice slate, probably some streaming. As we said, 2 LA games. So hopefully by the time I do my show, which will be around probably 3 p.m. Eastern tomorrow, we'll have an idea of whether those LA games are going to go ahead tomorrow, and that will then determine how much streaming there is and who we're picking up for the day. So we will see. But thank you, as always, for listening and for tuning in. Please go and download and do all of that stuff. I'm Adam King. This has been the Balls Deep post-game show. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.